CliffCentral.com. Hey George, how's it going?
Good, and you been?
Yeah, not so bad. Huh? It's been a pretty good week, and I'm sorry that Gareth's not here for the second week in a row. It's nothing personal with you.
I know. Okay. I know. It's okay. I understand.
I just thought I'd start with that, you know. So no.
Keep it when together. When you come and someone leaves the country, you don't have to take it personally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't anymore because you know he spends less and less time with me as well. Anyway, I was at the start of the show today. I referenced our chat last week about the fuel efficiency and the cars that are going to give you your most bang for buck with the least amount of petrol. Of course, there will be another petrol price hike coming soon-ish, according to AA. So I really enjoyed that chat last week. What are you going to store for us this week?
Well, firstly, very exciting news that the South African Car of the Year, 2019 Car of the Year, the jury, has now finally been revealed. There's a couple of new categories, and the finalist announcement is scheduled for sometime in November. So. Nice. And then on between March the 11th and 12th, the jury will put these finalist cars through their paces for 2019. So let's see who wins in the 2019 South African Car of the Year. I'm excited for this one.
George, with your intimate knowledge of this, as quickly and as succinctly as you can, how does the process come to be where they get those final cars? Is it just rigorous analysis put together with a format, a system that's lasted for years, or do they shake things up from time to time?
So this year we've shaken things up. Okay. So the base of how the cars are judged are still the same, but now this year we're including the consumer in the mix.
Right.
So very quickly the process has an incredibly stringent and very very low rate of statistical error. Mm-hmm. So it's been proven mathematically that the way in which the judges judge the cars, the final winner is actually statistically correct because of the way the questions are asked and the way the judges do this. So it's very very I think mathematical and it's very complicated. If you dig into the way it's done, it's very complicated, and the judges have no ability to be subjective to a point that sways something.
Right. Okay. Which does add to the integrity of this,
yeah.
Because there's so many different things nowadays that just literally boil down to popularity contests.
Exactly. So
likes and shares.
Yeah, and we don't want a popularity contest. There's lots of cars that get hype because of popularity, and that's not the right way to judge something, I don't think.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's South African Car of the Year 2019. Very, very, very exciting stuff. And then there has been a hairstylist, that covered the whole of a Fiat 500 with 100 kilograms of human hair.
Oh, that's very gross.
That's it, Russia, very right? Gross. Russia.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it? No, sorry, Italy.
It's that whole thing of hair's fine as long as it's attached to the body, but as soon as it becomes unattached, it's gross.
Yeah, I think they should put a check out on the person who put this together. I'm worried.
It just looks gross. It absolutely. I'll tweet the picture, but it is absolutely.
So is it just the exterior?
No. Look, the interior is done as well.
Oh,
no,
okay.
They're like these blonde plaits.
Yeah.
I was almost okay with the hair of the outside, with the hair of the inside.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of a hairstylist would do this? It's absolutely gross. And you know what it cost?
More than
£75,000. I mean, I think that's just.
Again, if you buy that car, you got to check what's in that guy's basement.
Yeah. Will undoubtedly be a jar of toenail clippings.
And I say guy, because I don't see a woman buying that car.
No. I don't know. He or she is going to drive. Wait, what's their name? Lucia Mugno, which I'm assuming is a girl.
Yeah.
Weird.
That is weird.
That is one of the weirdest car stories I've ever heard.
Anyway, so, I mean, less gross stuff. The 10 most annoying things a car passenger can do. Have you ever had passengers in a car that do annoying things?
Backseat drivers.
Yeah, that's probably the number one.
Yeah.
Backseat driver. Yeah. Well, number one, giving unwelcome driving advice. Backseat driver. 88% of drivers hate backseat drivers.
I would guess putting your feet in the dashboard's got to be in the top three as well.
You know what, Ben? I have a bugbear on that as well. You know, when I drive past a car and you see these feet out the window, yeah. That's just gross.
But even if like it's someone you like and they put their feet in your dash.
Yeah, don't like that. Especially with shoes and they leave muddy imprints.
Or just toes on the windscreen.
Oh, ew.
See, exactly.
It's toe jam, it's a problem. And then next time the window fogs up, you've got these feet prints on your...
Feet prints.
So the second thing is eating in the car. 76% of drivers hate people eating in their car. And then number three is giving poor directions, which I think goes with unwelcome advice. And number four is taking over the music, becoming the DJ in the car.
Yep.
71% of people hate that.
Yeah, that's a goodie.
Taking over temperature controls is the fifth. Getting road rage on the driver's behalf.
Yes.
Getting road rage on the driver's behalf. And then number seven is pretending to brake. Have you ever had somebody in your passenger seat that puts their foot in the footwell?
I have been that person out of just being a nervous passenger.
Yeah.
I drove Gugu Zulu once in a Ferrari around a track. And he was putting on his pretend brakes. It was very funny to see.
Gugu Zulu was. Yes. That is very funny to see.
You were
a racing driver.
Yeah. I did a thing for Top Billing. That's with the Michael Moles, with the two Moles in the Ferraris. I think I beat Ian F. and Sasha Martininger's time.
They were probably too nervous to crash.
Yeah, look, I did leave a bit of a cone imprint on the bumper. But those pretend brakes. But for me, as a driver, my worst thing is when someone leans over and hoots on my behalf.
Road rage.
I
think that's an exotic hate.
But yeah, that's the road rage part.
Yeah.
But generally, I often say to people, you know what? You tell me which way to go. Let's go your way.
Yeah.
Instead of having them sit there and you know they're thinking, oh, I wish you'd have gone left.
Yeah. Let's go your way. Let's see you stuff it up.
Yeah.
but it's such a funny topic that you bring up, George, because I mean, my girlfriend and I don't drive together that much because she has a day job, so to speak, and I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
But there's certain things. I mean, we get along and we have a couple of fights here and there. I can imagine that people who get so happy about being in their car, this is like their sanctuary in life, and suddenly they're getting bitched at home and now in their car as well. But the people associate their car as their safe space. This must be mind-blowing.
It is. I mean, I find my car to be the place that I think. Sometimes I just turn everything off.
Sanctuary.
Yeah, it's a sanctuary. You're right. Bottom three, not contributing to petrol or parking costs. 45% of people say
it's a communication thing a lot of the time.
Yeah, no, that's true. And then littering or leaving rubbish in someone else's car.
Oh, definitely.
And then the last one, I don't know, I think this should be up in the top five, but applying makeup while driving.
Yeah. I have a story for that. I was applying lipstick in my... when I was still married to my now ex-husband, and we went over a bump, and in his new car, I left a huge stripe of bright lipstick on the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
The roof of the fabric of the car.
Oh.
And it was a grey kind of roof.
It was a pale.
A pale roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never got to live that one down. Never. I mean, how do you get rid of that?
Did that contribute to...
Yes, it definitely did. That was one of our biggest fights.
Oh, really?
And in fact...
And that is when the relationship soured.
I kept on screaming. We were on our way to Galuli's farm to meet friends. And I kept on screaming at him, it was a mistake. It was a fucking mistake.
and you were right, but there was still a stripe.
There was still a stripe.
There was still a stripe. And then when I got out the car, I finished off the job by lipsticking all over the side of his car. practically breaking my lipstick. Because I just had no... Needless to say, it wasn't a happy picnic that day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there we go. Let's move on to Formula One. and then lastly, there's the US race this weekend, starting to become a bit of a procession.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. The only way that Hamilton's not going to win is if he doesn't get into the points as often as he needs to. But I'm not optimistic with Ferrari's strategy decision making lately. So I think it's going to be Mercedes and Hamilton for the rest of the year.
But he can technically win the World Championships this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Mathematically speaking.
Mathematically, he can. But I mean, it's unlikely. Because Vettel will go to score points, but if they make a stupid strategy decision and he ends up 10th on the grid, that might happen.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange, like, you look at the F1, if you are an F1 fan, maybe you have your favorites during the season, but this little window here, it's like, obviously there's so much hype around the Europe stuff, you know, it always is because of time zones and just generally the older, more established circuits, and then you go to the Americas. And I mean, again, from a fan who watches F1, it's not me, but when it goes to that side of the world, George, I mean, it's not, I know it's coming to the final stages and there's excitement, but they aren't the greatest circuits, are they?
No, not in America. I mean, the circuits aren't, they're built for American, mainly for American speedway type racing and those big V8s. So it's not the most exciting circuits, and you've got to have a lot of power on those circuits because there's long straights and the bends aren't that much, aren't that exciting. So you're right. Power circuit probably favors Mercedes at the moment because Ferrari's lagged with their development. But who knows what Ferrari brings to the weekend.
But I almost feel that they should restructure in such a way, and again, maybe just using a golfing reference here, but like the run-up to Abu Dhabi should maybe be around more the traditional kind of things.
Yeah.
Because these seem like outlier circuits, because in Sao Paulo, they're all going to get hijacked outside the racetrack.
Yeah.
Mexico is Mexico because they go into that crowd set. And it's cool, but I don't think it should be the final home stretch for F1.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Reschedule that.
I agree.
But hey, what do I know? George, is that it for today?
That's it.
All right. For more of George, of course, clipcentral.com. The Auto Central team comes at you on the Monday. You can catch the podcast there or, of course, catch them live on the schedule. And anything else, George, we should know about?
No, that's it. I will be back at you next week with hopefully not hair news.
No hair news. But
no hairy cars, please.
Speaking of hair, Gareth Cliff will be back, though, to talk cars with you.
Oh, I should have left this one for him.
Yeah, it's okay. CliffCentral.com